This is Indiana Public Radio News. I'm Stan Sollers. 60 years ago, a carload of students from then Ball State Teachers College set out for Washington, D.C. It was August. It was hot. On August 28th, 60 years ago today, they later realized their destination was history. Face-to-face history. James Wesley Williams is one of the sons of the late Reverend J.C. Williams of Muncie. Reverend Williams was active in the civil rights movement in Muncie, and so was James. James, his older brother Charles, and a handful of his Ball State classmates felt compelled to travel to Washington for the March on Washington and to hear the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. give a speech at the Lincoln Memorial. The speech was a call to peaceful action in civil rights for all Americans. His address was carried on national radio and television. It would later be called the I Have a Dream speech, a speech historians say that was one of the most powerful and inspirational in United States history. James and an estimated 250,000 others would gather at the Lincoln Memorial and all along the reflecting pool extending almost to the Washington Monument. These were the days long before smartphones, email, and the internet. These were the days of flyers and pamphlets, newspapers made of paper, 4 radio networks, and 3 TV networks. These were also days of segregated public places in the South, separate water fountains, and wrenching poverty for blacks, especially in southern states. James and crew left Muncie to travel partly through the South to reach Washington. He says they were both excited and anxious when they left Muncie. I spoke with James recently about this trip. This is his story when he was a student at Ball State Teachers College.
Yes, Ball State. I was in college at the time at Ball State. I was involved with some other young people who were involved in the movement, so to speak. And we would get together and chit-chat and talk and being African-Americans. And it was good. It was good. And my brother, my older brother, and maybe 5 other people from Ball State, friends of ours, and we went in a car. We drove a car all the way to Washington, D.C. 30 miles outside of Muncie, we had a flat tire. And that gave us a little rise as to whether or not we would be served adequately enough. And they fixed our car and we traveled to D.C., which was quite a delightful endeavor because we talked a lot. And we talked all the way there and back. And it was quite an adventure for young people as we were.
So it's 1963. Everyone in the car is black, and you're headed at least in part through the South to get to Washington. Fear must have been in the air at times.
Absolutely. We didn't know. We were on our way to the March on Washington, which meant that we didn't know how we would be received, and because a lot of people were traveling at that time and going that way. And we had some hesitation, and we went, and we had an enjoyable time there.
So you arrive in Washington safely, and you come across this crowd in the march of around 250,000 people. What was that like?
More people than I've ever seen in my life gathered together at any kind of event. I never would believe it, that this kind of a thing, I would be a part of such a glorious, adventurous endeavor as this March on Washington.
So, of course, we have no smartphones, we have no internet. It's 1963. How did you know where to go and what to do?
Yeah, we had that information from the NAACP. The NAACP of Muncie, Indiana, gave us instructions as to what to do and how to do it.
Now you're in this sea of humanity. You got the car parked. I'm sure the phrase, "Remember where we parked," must have been said at least once.
We had one person, a Ball State student, I think at the time he was a senior at Ball State, and he was the person who really attempted to know everything that we needed to know as to where the car was and is and should be.
So the 7 of you from Muncie navigated your way through the crowd to get as close as possible to the podium where Dr. King would speak and give what became known as the I Have a Dream speech. And you left your group and got as close as you could. What was the security like?
I left the group myself. I just left the group and explored. And in doing so, I was connected with another group of people. And we traveled when we moved towards the event. I was in another group, and we carried our placards, and we carried our signs and stuff like that, and we sang. People there in my group didn't know a lot of the freedom songs, so I knew them, and so I led the group in singing the songs, which was a delightful thing. But the security was excellent. It wasn't your normal, it wasn't all of normal security. It wasn't like policemen and all that. But mostly it was people that had worked for SNCC.
That's SNCC, S-N-C-C, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee.
And worked for NAACP and a variety of other groups that had come together and said that they would act as security. So they had their badges, and they did an excellent job. I slipped away even further. My idea was to get as close to the speakers as I possibly could, and I did that. It was a fence. It was a wooden fence of a sort, and this was maybe, 50 feet back. I went through that, as others did as well. And then there was another fenced off area for us not to go toward the platform. In my ignorance, and I was young, of course, I just bypassed the other group, and I just walked around and through the fence, and I walked toward the podium.
How far away were you?
Maybe 20 feet away. And I went up to the steps because I just wanted to see. I wanted to see things. I wanted to, since I had come so far near the platform, they probably thought that I was a part of the group that was supposed to be there, and I was relatively quiet, and I was by myself. So I found a place where I could sit and stand, and I could see everybody, and I saw everybody.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
The thrill that I had wasn't the other speakers, it was only Martin Luther King. And I saw him, and when he came in, he was rushed in, but everybody was surrounding him. You know, everybody was all the rest of the speakers. But I did see him, and I listened to him. I was able to hear exactly what he said, and that was the thrill of my life, I think. I think it was the thrill of my life, even though I was young and ignorant and didn't know a lot of things. I did know that standing before me, it was one of the greatest men that have ever lived, in my opinion.
This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
What the speech said was so moving to me as a person, as a young person. I think it just changed my life because I left there and went to Chicago and involved myself in Cicero, Illinois, and doing some things, some movement things, and involved myself in from a better way, better perspective. That speech itself drew. I cried. I just cried. And of course, this is my first time ever admitting this to you and to your audience. I've never cried like that, but I did cry.
James Williams, his older brother, and his five Ball State Teachers College classmates found their car where they left it and motored back to campus. They left the nation's capital inspired to do something so that all citizens of the United States could live in harmony. The job is far from being finished, but James says progress has been made. The dream continues in James and countless others, 60 years later to the day. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.